Fudge fixed the Prime Minister with a rather stern look.
Of course they were,
he said.
Surely you've realised what's going on.
I...
hesitated the Prime Minister. It was precisely this sort of behaviour that made him dislike Fudge's visits so much. He was, after all, the Prime Minister and did not appreciate being made to feel like an ignorant schoolboy. But of course it had been like this from his very first meeting with Fudge on his very first evening as Prime Minister. He remembered it as though it were yesterday and knew it would haunt him until his dying day. He had been standing alone in this very office, savouring the triumph that was his after so many years of dreaming and scheming, when he had heard a cough behind him, just like tonight, and turned to find that ugly little portrait talking to him, announcing that the Minister of Magic was about to arrive and introduce himself. Naturally, he had thought that the long campaign and the strain of the election had caused him to go mad. He had been utterly terrified to find a portrait talking to him, though this had been nothing to how he felt when a self-proclaimed wizard had bounced out of the fireplace and shaken his hand. He had remained speechless throughout Fudge's kindly explanation that there were witches and wizards still living in secret all over the world, and his reassurances that he was not to bother his head about them, as the Ministry of Magic took responsibility for the whole wizarding community and prevented the non-magical population from getting wind of them. It was, said Fudge, a difficult job that encompassed everything from regulations on responsible use of broomsticks to keeping the dragon population under control. The Prime Minister remembered clutching the desk for support at this point. Fudge had then patted the shoulder of the still dumbstruck Prime Minister in a fatherly sort of way.
Not to worry, he had said. It's odds on, you'll never see me again. I'll only bother you if there's something really serious going on our end, something that's likely to affect the Muggles, the non-magical population, I should say. Otherwise, it's live and let live, and I must say you're taking it a lot better than your predecessor. He tried to throw me out the window, thought I was a hoax planned by the opposition.
At this, the Prime Minister had found his voice at last. You're not a hoax, then? It had been his last desperate hope.
No, said Fudge gently. No, I'm afraid I'm not. Look.
And he had turned the Prime Minister's teacup into a gerbil. But, said the Prime Minister breathlessly, watching his teacup chewing on the corner of his next speech, but why has nobody told me?
The Minister of Magic only reveals him or herself to the Muggle Prime Minister of the day, said Fudge, poking his wand back inside his jacket. We find it the best way to maintain secrecy.
But then, bleated the Prime Minister,
why hasn't a former Prime Minister warned me?
At this, Fudge had actually laughed.
My dear Prime Minister, are you ever going to tell anybody?
Still chortling, Fudge had thrown some powder into the fireplace, stepped into the emerald flames, and vanished with a whooshing sound. The Prime Minister had stood there quite motionless and realized that he would never, as long as he lived, dare mention this encounter to a living soul, for who in the wide world would believe him? The shock had taken a little while to wear off. For a time he had tried to convince himself that Fudge had indeed been a hallucination brought on by lack of sleep during his grueling election campaign. In a vain attempt to rid himself of all reminders of this uncomfortable encounter, he had given the gerbil to his delighted niece and instructed his private secretary to take down the portrait of the ugly little man who had announced Fudge's arrival. To the Prime Minister's dismay, however, the portrait had proved impossible to remove. When several carpenters, a builder or two, an art historian, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer had all tried unsuccessfully to prise it from the wall, the Prime Minister had abandoned the attempt and simply resolved to hope that the thing remained motionless and silent for the rest of his term in office. Occasionally he could have sworn he saw out of the corner of his eye the occupant of the painting yawning or else scratching his nose, even once or twice simply walking out of his frame and leaving nothing but a stretch of muddy brown canvas behind. However, he had trained himself not to look at the picture very much, and always to tell himself firmly that his eyes were playing tricks on him when anything like this happened. Then, 3 years ago, on a night very like tonight, the Prime Minister had been alone in his office when the portrait had once again announced the imminent arrival of Fudge, who had burst out of the fireplace sopping wet and in a state of considerable panic. Before the Prime Minister could ask why he was dripping all over the Axminster, Fudge had started ranting about a prison the Prime Minister had never heard of, a man named Sirius Black, something that sounded like Hogwarts, and a boy called Harry Potter, none of which made the remotest sense to the Prime Minister.
"I've just come from Azkaban," Fudge had panted, tipping a large amount of water out of the rim of his bowler hat into his pocket. "Middle of the North Sea, you know, nasty flight. The Dementors are in uproar," he shuddered. "They've never had a breakout before. Anyway, I had to come to you, Prime Minister. Black's a known muggle killer and may be planning to rejoin you-know-who. But of course, you don't even know who you-know-who is."
He had gazed hopelessly at the Prime Minister for a moment, then said,
"Well, sit down. I'd better fill you in. Have a whiskey."
The Prime Minister rather resented being told to sit down in his own office, let alone offered his own whiskey, but he sat nevertheless. Fudge pulled out his wand, conjured two large glasses full of amber liquid out of thin air, pushed one of them into the Prime Minister's hand, and drew up a chair. Fudge had talked for more than an hour. At one point, he had refused to say a certain name aloud and wrote it instead on a piece of parchment, which he had thrust into the Prime Minister's whiskey-free hand. When at last Fudge had stood up to leave, the Prime Minister had stood up too.
"So, you think that..."
He had squinted down at the name in his left hand. "Lord Vol..."
"He who must not be named,"
snarled Fudge.
"I'm sorry. You think that he who must not be named is still alive, then?" "Well, Dumbledore says he is,"
said Fudge, as he had fastened his pinstripe cloak under his chin.
"But we've never found him. If you ask me, he's not dangerous unless he's got support. So it's Black we ought to be worrying about. You'll put out that warning, then? Excellent. Well, I hope we don't see each other again, Prime Minister. Good night."